Welcome back to the Balancing Act podcast. This is Abby, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking all about intuitive eating. So you may have heard this term before and may have opinions about it, false ideas of what it means, or you may have a very good understanding of it. So I'm just going to give an overview of what it is, what it stands for, and really how it works. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So intuitive eating originally came out in 1995. It was a book called Intuitive Eating, A Revolutionary Program That Works. And it was written by two dietitians. Excuse if I butcher the names, Evelyn Tribble and Elise Riche. And their whole idea behind writing this book was to promote individuals to be in tune with their bodies, listen to their hunger cues, remove any guilt from eating, and allow people to respect their body's cues, such as hunger and fullness, and to reject diet culture and really emphasize personal self-care and honoring your body's system without any restriction. So the original idea with intuitive eating by these dietitians was an approach that people who have experienced eating disorders or disordered eating could take in order to have a less triggering connection to food and be able to challenge their diet mentality by really tuning in with their body and listening to the needs of it. So intuitive eating is based on 10 basic principles, and I'll just quickly go over all 10 and then we can dive deeper into them. So the first one is rejecting diet mentality. The second one is honoring your hunger. The third is making peace with food. The fourth is challenging the food police. 5 is discover the satisfaction factor. 6, feeling your fullness. 7, cope with your emotions with kindness. 8, respecting your body. 9, movement. And 10, honoring your health and gentle nutrition. So starting with number 1, rejecting the diet mentality. What does this mean for you? To me, this means removing food rules. It means not listening to latest fads or fad diets or any quick fixes for anything that you really don't need to always be fixing. Your body is constantly going to be a work in progress. There is no end state of it, and there is no ideal state of it either. And once you are able to throw out all of these crazy ideas and opinions coming at you 24/7, just going through society, scrolling on social media, you will find a sense of freedom that is intuitive eating. And to its core, it's you listening to your body, being one with your body, and respecting it and honoring it, and listening to your hunger cues, your fullness cues, and not letting society tell you how to be eating. So that brings us into our second principle of intuitive eating, which is honoring your hunger. So your body has biological cues of when to eat and when to stop eating. And the purpose behind honoring your hunger is to feel the sensations, recognize that your body is asking for something, and being kind enough to give your body what it needs. So this could mean eating a meal, let's say in the morning at 9 o'clock, and it's 11 o'clock and you are hungry again. But you say, I can't eat right now because lunch is gonna be at 12. And if I eat now, it'll ruin my hunger. I have to save myself. But in reality, you can eat at 11. If you are hungry and your body is saying it needs food, you are allowed to eat food. I used to struggle with this, and I still do. I'll be honest. I'm not perfect. I'm always a work in progress as well, and I'm still learning. So I have a problem where I'll say, if I'm hungry now, it's 3 o'clock. I had lunch at 12 or 1. I'm going to ruin my dinner. But since when does your next meal have to be based around how much of it you can eat. Don't you want to make sure your body is satisfied to get you through the day until you can even reach dinner time without being hangry, without having hunger pains, and without having any mind fog? So if you find yourself telling yourself that you cannot eat because there's another meal coming up, I think that that is one of the first and most important steps to intuitive eating and practicing mindful eating and listening to your body. Because if you were not allowed to breathe and somebody said, no, you have to hold your breath for another like 3 minutes until you can breathe again, that wouldn't make sense. You would say, no, I have to breathe now. And what's the second most important thing to breathing? It's eating. Your body needs this energy to live, and honoring your hunger is a very, very important aspect of intuitive eating. The third concept and principle of intuitive eating is making peace with food. So this is giving yourself unconditional permission to eat food and not label your food and not overwhelm yourself with this idea that you are cheating or you are giving up in anything or that you're giving into all your cravings. There should be a sense of radical acceptance with, I'm going to eat this and that is the end of it. I know that it's delicious. I know it'll give my body energy. I know I will be constantly thinking about this meal if I keep ignoring it. And the sense of superiority for not eating a food is an individual thing. Nobody's looking at you saying that you're better, that, wow, they restricted themselves and they didn't eat that cupcake. They are so strong. I don't think that's ever gone through my head. It is such a morality issue, and that our ego really gets in the way of that. So I believe, and what literature shows, is that giving yourself the permission to eat will really help reduce the intense feelings of deprivation and uncontrollable cravings that you experience if you were to keep restricting it. So the fourth principle of intuitive eating is challenging the food police. So this entails rejecting any negative self-talk or comparison or shaming of yourself. And it also includes getting rid of the labeling of food as good or bad, which I covered in my last episode about the morality of food and the criticism of yourself and others for eating certain foods. So this portion of intuitive eating is really about reframing your mindset and the language you use. So let's say you are eating a cookie and you finish the cookie and you say to yourself, wow, I shouldn't have eaten that. I'm so weak. I am so guilty. I'm so bad. Like, why did I give in to that? And reframing your mindset and the language you're using into maybe something like, well, that cookie was so delicious. I am so happy. I gave myself grace and allowed myself to enjoy it. And I'm so happy I did. This was delicious. I am satisfied. And that's the end of it. The consumption of this cookie should not take up your mindset, your thoughts, and be kept in your brain for really more than the 10 chews maybe it's going to take. You eat the cookie, you finish the cookie, you say, wow, that was delicious, and you move on. Now, this amount of food is not a set amount. It does not have to be the same for each meal. It will change. Our hunger levels are changing. They are never really the same. You may have an idea of how much food you need to eat if you have specific tasks you want to perform after, but there's no rule saying it has to be consistent. It is based on listening to your body, seeing your hunger cues, and eating until you are satisfied. And this satisfaction does not mean you have to eat everything on your plate. This does not mean that you have to only put a certain amount on your plate in order to be satisfied, quote unquote. You are eating till full satiety, until you say, I've had enough. This does not mean, again, that you have to eat till your body is full. It can be many different things that bring your satisfaction. This brings us to the fifth principle of intuitive eating, which is discovering the satisfaction factor. So this involves really paying attention to the satisfaction that you get from eating. So this can be in the form of mindful eating, trying new foods, eating without distraction, honoring your cravings, and stopping when satisfied, which is also tied into eating regularly, which I discussed before. Not letting your body get so hungry between meals to the point that you do end up overeating and feeling discomfort, and allowing yourself to keep steady energy levels and allowing yourself to enjoy each meal that you have. Part of this means stopping when you're satisfied with your meal and paying attention again to the signals of fullness. And even if there's food left on your plate, you are able to stop eating once you have sensed that satisfaction from the food and be able to move on. You don't have this overwhelming idea that you have to eat what is in front of you. You may have grown up in a household where you weren't allowed to have dessert, or you weren't allowed to go play or watch TV unless you finished everything on your plate, which I understand the approach by parents wanting to make sure their kids are adequately fed. But I think that it could be a very damaging practice where kids no longer are in tune with their bodies. And the most intuitive eaters we know are children. They will, and I'm sure many parents out there or anybody who's worked with kids have seen that they will mention when they're hungry. They will eat to when they are no longer hungry, and they'll get up and they'll go on with their day. There's no second thought about eating, and it's really developed through going through society and the vicious things that diet culture teaches us. So focusing on your satisfaction with your meal really allows for you to focus on nourishing yourself and enjoying the meal rather than just finishing everything on your plate because that's what you grew up doing or that's where you used to, and feeling obligated to not waste any food when you can always throw stuff in a Tupperware, put it in the fridge, come back to it later once your body says that it would like it again. This is similar to the sixth principle of intuitive eating, which is feeling your fullness. So this includes listening to the body signals of when you are no longer hungry and do not want to eat any more food, and recognizing the signs and being aware of your body and how it feels when you are full, as well as uncomfortably full, is really important for recognizing at what point do I stop eating so that I can go on with my day feeling comfortable and confident in the next task that you're going to take on. So a way that I've learned to be more in tune with myself and my fullness sensations is eating slower and really thinking to yourself, as cheesy as it sounds, no pun intended, sitting there and using your senses to, how does this food taste? What does this offer me? What is the smell of the food? What is the texture of the food? And really just diving into the physical aspect of eating and what you enjoy about the food, what you wish you could change in the future when you're preparing it or anything like that, and just really being aware of your food and allowing yourself to eat as much as you want or to eat as little as you want, depending on your hunger level. The seventh principle of intuitive eating is coping with your emotions with kindness. And this is such an essential part of intuitive eating, and I'm going to give you guys some examples of how you can apply it to your life. The seventh principle of intuitive eating is coping with your emotions with kindness. So this is allowing yourself to feel all sorts of emotions and really discovering which coping strategies work for you when your emotions take over. The seventh principle of intuitive eating is coping with your emotions with kindness. So what does this really mean? This means recognizing the restriction you put on food. This can be physical and emotional, and really seeing what causes maybe a loss of control, which may lead to emotional eating. Now, I don't want you to go out and believe that emotional eating is inherently a bad thing, because it is quite literally the most neutral thing. It is a common thing and it's never going away. There is nothing inherently wrong with it either. People may believe that using food as a comfort mechanism is bad and that makes you gross and like, why would you just go to food? Like, that makes no sense. But food is the one thing that has always been with us and has never talked back to us, never yelled at us. It has been, for many people, the one thing that was consistent and something that they find really personal and important to them and calms them down. Now, looking at it long term, the principle is really saying to find ways to comfort and distract yourself and resolve your issues through alternative coping strategies. And this could include anything from going to therapy, finding different strategies that work for you, whether it's deep breathing, whether it is exercise, whether it is talking through your problems, being alone, finding ways to cope with issues other than food, to make food less important emotionally in your life, will really benefit your ability to thrive intuitively eating. The eighth principle of intuitive eating is respecting your body, and it is all about radical acceptance and accepting where you are at this moment and not shaming yourself for flaws that you believe are there. Now, this may be difficult if you have a long history of body shaming yourself or trying to change yourself, but by accepting your genetic blueprint and not having unrealistic expectations for yourself and allowing yourself to have dignity and take space will really improve your relationship with your body, yourself, with food, and pretty much every aspect of your life. Because your body is the least important thing about you, and I've never seen somebody at a funeral say, wow, I miss them so much. They had the best abs and the best shoulders and the best legs I've ever seen in my life, and I don't expect it to start now. So take all that in as you'd like, accept your body, respect your body, and by doing this, and I'm saying this as if it's the easiest thing ever, it is the hardest thing to do. And it does not mean it's impossible. I have been on both sides of the spectrum about whether respecting my body or not, and I can confidently say through years of work, I am at the point where I respect the shit out of my body. I recognize all the things it does for me every day, and what am I doing to say that it's doing an awful job, or that I look awful, or that pointing out different things about my body or how it works that I'm not very fond of? But what is that going to do for me? Really nothing. But what is respecting my body going to do? It's going to give me brain space. It's going to give me the ability to focus on other things in my life that are way more important than how my body looks. Now, this leads us to the ninth principle of intuitive eating, which is movement. And movement may be something you are familiar with. It may be something that you are more uncomfortable with or haven't tried. But focusing on how you feel from movement rather than your physical being may be the key to allowing yourself this sense of freedom. My favorite thing about exercise and movement is the ability to engage in it in a way that you find enjoyable and energizing to you. My ideal movement may not be your ideal movement. Somebody may say, I want to run a marathon, and somebody may say, I want to take my dog for a walk, and those are both just as incredible tasks. There's no better one. There is no worse one. They're just different in their being. And whichever one you find comfort in and will allow you to focus on how your body feels rather than how it looks is a win in my book. Now, the final principle of intuitive eating is honoring your health as well as gentle nutrition. The 10th and final principle of intuitive eating is honoring your health with gentle nutrition. Now, this means making food choices that honor your definition of health and taste preferences without any restrictive food rules. By removing any food rules from your diet while also actively cultivating new healthy, mindful eating habits, you'll be able to pay more attention to the sensory experience of eating, which is just an incredible part of eating. And I think that's something that most people don't even pay attention to anymore. And it's all about how little can I eat, or how can I make this the least amount of calories, or how can I make this a totally diet culture corrupt meal, you know? But by really focusing on the foods and the aromas and the texture and the taste, being able to be in tune with your body's hunger and fullness cues will just lead to such a more satisfying experience while eating, and really take away the stress of eating that is really put upon us through diet culture. Now, intuitive eating is not a diet. It is a way to look at food and recognize your body's signals to yourself and be more mindful and accepting of them. Not only will intuitive eating give you freedom from dieting, it will allow you to explore your body acceptance journey, eat more mindfully, focus on your emotional well-being, and really tuning in on your long-term health goals. And it's not all about what you eat, it's how you eat and how you relate to food and react to your body. And by creating a more intuitive and empathetic approach to eating for yourself, you can find more freedom, more joy, and really experience life from a whole new and better lens. So that wraps up this episode. I will see you guys soon, and make sure you tune in to other episodes of The Balancing Act. Bye.